gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the broken record of free speech, because I'm on here, and I'm a broken record, and I'm talking about the same stuff all the time. So, you've heard it before. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. All right, today is Monday. It is our regular Mark Collett day. Last week it was Tuesday and we did it with Jeremy, but this week we're back to our regular schedule. Mark's here. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It is good to be here on our regular Mondays, as they should be called. Unfortunately, I've been a bit busy. We've had this sort of large number of bank holidays, which sadly has meant that I haven't been as available as I used to be on Mondays. But now those bank holidays appear to be coming to an end, thankfully. And here I am in my regular slot, starting the week in the best way to start the week, which is obviously here on RBN.
Well, thank you very much. And last week we had it with Jeremy. How was that?
Was good. I'm not saying I'm lazy, but I do kind of like it when there's another person on sometimes, because it means that I get to sit back and do a little bit more listening. But yeah, it was nice. I enjoyed that, and I'd certainly enjoy working with Jeremy again.
Well, so when we do our show, it is first thing on Monday morning for me. For you, it's Monday afternoon or Monday midday, but for me, it's first thing in the morning. And I do have a tendency to just let you carry the show. It's an easy way for me to get into the week just without doing a whole lot of heavy lifting at first. So that tends to be how it is. Not always, but often. But Jeremy was very keen on getting to know you, and he's a good guy. Very, rural working class American, which is kind of the salt of the earth, and he's got charisma and he's smart. So hopefully you'll be able to have some collaborations in the future.
He's very easy to talk to. Very
personal. Yeah. And at the very end, he said he was going to push back at me, and he said something, and it made me laugh because I was like, I don't know, is that pushing back at me? Whatever. Can't even remember what it was. All right, but here we are. And this is what I propose to start off with. There is a G7 meeting in Japan. It was held in Hiroshima because the Japanese prime minister wants to he wants to show his electorate that he's doing something about nuclear war. And the Japanese prime ministers, and this one's no exception, they love to stand side by side with the American president, and, you know, because they're partners and there's a U.S.-Japan alliance. When actually, Japan's just a satellite of the United States. And
satellite, that's a bit kind, Patrick. Try vassal state.
Okay, vassal state. I said satellite. I had said this years and years ago to Benjamin Fulford, who is at the time was, like, now he's no more as a conspiracy theorist, but at the time he was a very mainstream reporter. He was the bureau chief for Forbes, and he was interviewing former Prime Minister Nakasone, who had been Prime Minister for 5 years in the 1980s. And he said, oh, there's an American professor who describes the U.S.-Japan relationship as Japan's a satellite of the United States. What do you think of that? And Nakasone says, well, that's how it was when I was Prime Minister. He said that in the interview. So, anyway, so there, you've got that going on, and then Zelensky crashes the meeting, and according to news reports, it wasn't until the summit went on over the weekend. It wasn't until I think Friday that Zelensky's crew contacts Japan. Zelensky's in Saudi Arabia, contacts Japan, and says, I want to go. So he just crashes this party. Not that it was a, you know, the party's a stupid party anyway, but he crashed it. And I don't know. It's just the weirdest thing. And if I could talk to the Japanese, I'd say, you know, you might think you're really, you know, it's great being the first mate on this ship. You know, you're the biggest of the American satellites, right? Actually, Japan is the super satellite. It is the super satellite. But
bigger than Britain.
Yes, it's bigger than Britain. Yes. It's got much bigger population, much bigger. It's got bigger, pretty much bigger everything, except it doesn't have an official nuclear force, although it is what I call what's the word for it? Quasi-nuclear. It's quasi-nuclear.
Yeah, its GDP is double that of Britain's.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And technology and all this. So it's the super satellite, but it's a satellite around the star that is like fading. And meanwhile, next month in St. Petersburg, Russia, there's going to be a meeting of the BRICS, which are becoming that is kind of like the counter to the G7, the BRICS, which is Russia, China, India, Brazil, and South Africa. And there's going to be 81 other countries, not just Zelensky. Zelensky's not going to show up, but there's going to be 81 other countries showing up there. And so what I see, last thing I'm going to say, is you're having this restructuring of world affairs. I think it's just as significant as the restructurings that you had after World War One, after World War Two, and after the Cold War. I think you're going into this complete realignment of world affairs. And why is it, like, you know, you could say on the one hand that maybe the reason the French or the British or the Canadians do what they do is because there's a lot of direct Jewish power there. Why did the Japanese go along with this? I don't know. I'm kicking it over to you.
Well, I think this is really interesting because you and I have spoken many times before, many, many times before, about this shift in global power, about the way that things are changing, about the way that the world is fundamentally changing. And I think this is something that, you know, bears that out, that people will say, well, hey, you know, these guys are talking a lot of sense here. You know, things are changing. The world is changing. And fundamentally, we are now moving into this new era, which is a very uncertain era, especially for the United States, because the United States has been so used to being top dog. They've pretty much been top dog globally since the end of the Second World War. I mean, at one point they did have major competition from the, you know, Russia and the Soviet Union. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, America has been seen as the top dog, and the president of the United States was always referred to as the leader of the free world. And at one point they seemed almost unassailable, the idea that America could be knocked off its perch, or that there would even be a viable alternative to America, did look, you know, more and more ridiculous. You know, at one time the Soviet Union was, you know, was extremely powerful, but post the fall of the Berlin Wall, it didn't look like anyone would ever be, you know, pushing back against America, let alone rivaling America or potentially eclipsing America. And when you have, because when I see things like the G7 summit, I don't see that as a meeting of free nations. I see that as a meeting of America and its vassal states. You know, nothing happens there without the express approval of America. I mean, it's done to give the sort of veneer of some kind of free and democratic meeting of nations that are going to stand together and decide things, you know, on a consensus basis. But you and I both know that that's not how things happen. There is no consensus basis. It's basically the American way or the highway. that is, you know, these G7 or G10 or G20, however many nations end up attending, that's what those summits are about. But here, now, you've potentially got a meeting of the BRICS nations, which will be bigger, better attended, and fundamentally, you know, more influential than this G7 meeting. And that's shocking. That's really something that I don't think most people would have at one point thought they'd ever see in their lifetimes. The idea that, you know, America was no longer there as the global leader, people would have thought that to be unthinkable, especially, as I said, post the fall of the Berlin Wall. So this takes us into this brave new world scenario, which I think quite a few nations are ready for, but the one nation that isn't ready for this is in fact America. And I think one of the reasons America are lashing out so heavily and committing so heavily to the conflict in the Ukraine is a desperate attempt to prove that they still are in control, that they still are relevant, that they still are the global superpower. And I think the implications of a Russian victory in the Ukraine will be far more significant for America than they would actually be for Russia. So if Russia win, obviously Russia meets its objectives, but I don't think meeting those objectives will be as significant for Russia as it would be for America.
Yeah, so World War One and World War Two, you had the countries actually just, you know, beating the hell out of each other. And it was a fight to the death. But you had just as significant a realignment after the Cold War, where during the 45 years of the Cold War, there had been these proxy wars here and there. But even the proxy wars weren't that consequential. America lost the main proxy war, which was in Vietnam. But at the end of the Cold War, you had this kind of people call collapse of the communist system. You had the Soviet Union breaking up, and it goes into this unipolar world with America on top. There wasn't some sort of conflagration that sparked it. And, you know, like I say, to the extent you had these proxy wars, it wasn't as if America was winning the proxy wars in Ukraine and the Soviet Union was losing them. So it doesn't have to be a big battle. And what's going on in Ukraine, yeah, there will be an adjustment of the border. There will be some provinces of Ukraine, how many, I don't know, but some provinces of Ukraine that wind up becoming part of Russia. But that's not going to be the most significant thing. The real significance of the Ukraine war is not going to be what happens to Ukraine. And when you think about it, the Ukraine war was never about Ukraine, as far as I'm concerned. The Ukraine war was an effort by these Jews in the State Department, in particular, to overthrow the Russian government. And it's failed, and they have no reverse gear. They're just kind of stuck with it. And right now, it seems to me that they're just flailing. They're flailing. So they're stuck with this war that's they've already lost. But all they can do is just pump more and more resources into it and do public relations. They've got this president who is not in control of anything, who's kind of a laughingstock when you get down to it. I mean, nobody wants him to run, and he's going to run. It's just a giant mess, and you know, it's not going to fall apart tomorrow or the next day, but it's completely unsustainable. Hey, one other thing I want to throw in there. There's NATO, there's US Japan has a treaty alliance, there's these other arrangements. One arrangement that's come about over the past, half dozen years or so, It's called The Quad. I'm not sure if you're familiar with The Quad.
I'm not, but please make me familiar with it.
Okay, because it's recent. It goes back maybe 6 years or so. It's an effort, and I don't know if the initiative comes more from the United States, maybe the end of the Obama administration, if it comes from that, or if it comes more from Japan. But the Quad, it's four countries. It's the United States, Japan, Australia, and India. And there have been some military exercises, some joint military exercises, and some meetings. And the whole idea is to contain China, right? And they meet. They have these meetings. And the key here is India, because India was part of this Quad, and India, it's had bad relations with China, although, you know, and they've had these minor military skirmishes from time to time. Now, you couldn't call the issue between China and India a territorial issue. It's not like between India and Pakistan, where there's Kashmir, where you got millions and millions of people who live there, and there's, you know, it's kind of divided, and it's a big territory with millions of people there. There is what I would call a demarcation issue. There is an issue, where is the border exactly in the Himalayas, and which mountain peaks are part of China and which mountain peaks are part of India. There is some of that, and some of the mountain peaks might have a little bit of military significance, but these aren't inhabited areas. And so really the issue between China and India is not that important of an issue, not like between India and Pakistan, for instance. And when the Ukraine war started, and China didn't join in the sanctions, that was a big blow. But then when India sided with Russia and China, implicitly with China as well, that was death knell. That was the end of that strategy. And so here's the thing. So there is a Quad meeting that's supposed to be following this G7, and it's supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be in Tokyo, where you've got Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, he's coming, and I guess the Australian Prime Minister is going to come. Well, Biden was in town, and he left town. He's not going to meet with Modi because there's a budget crisis in America, as if Joe Biden is really needed to resolve a budget crisis in Washington. So, you know, there's some talk. Why is he skipping the Quad meeting? What does that mean for the Quad? Anyway, so that's the Quad. What do you think about that?
Well, I find it quite interesting that we're talking about this, because fundamentally, there is an issue here. We're obviously talking about this Quad. And when it comes to it, let's have a quick look at this. India now is obviously, you know, to a large degree, it is part of BRICS. Well, the Quad really falls to pieces, doesn't it, in that situation? Because fundamentally, you've got a situation here now where one of the nations that is meant to be containing China is in fact not containing China. One of the nations that's meant to be containing China is in fact allied with China economically. Mm. So I think that's obviously a real, you know, that's obviously going to be a real, real issue for...
Let's talk debt versus deficit. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. The national debt is like your credit card balance. It is the amount of money owed if you pay it off right now. The national debt limit is like your credit limit. It is the maximum amount you are allowed to borrow. The 14th Amendment says that the public debt shall not be questioned. It does not say that increasing the debt can't be questioned or challenged. Every time we approach the debt limit, politicians on both sides say that we will default on our debt if we don't raise the limit. Well, that's only true if government keeps spending on everything that they want. Only two expenses are specifically authorized by the U.S. Constitution: the public debt and national defense. Constitutionally, everything else is optional. Pay the debt payment and the national defense expense and budget what's left. No debt increase needed. Don't let politicians lie to you so that they can keep spending your money with reckless abandon. Please visit the shop at liberty-lighthouse.com and pick up a bumper sticker or t-shirt. Until next time, Cephas Paschev, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
One of the nations that's meant to be containing China is in fact allied with China economically. Mm. So I think that's obviously a real, you know, that's obviously going to be a real, real issue for America. And I think that Biden is obviously missing out on this meeting, because otherwise he's going to have to sit with an Indian premier who fundamentally is dealing with Russia, dealing with China, and is probably thinking to himself, hey, there is a massive change in the way the wind is blowing on a global scale, and India want to be part of this brave new world. India don't want, with their, you know, they have got a massive population. They are a powerful country. They are, you know, increasingly powerful as a country. They have a massive manufacturing base. They want cheap oil. They are a nuclear superpower. And at this point, they're thinking to themselves, hey, where do we go here? Do we A, say we want a place in the new world as a vassal state of America? Or do we want a place in the new world as potentially, you know, maybe not the superpower, but part of a group of superpowers that actually reshape the world. And that's the issue, isn't it? Do you want to be a vassal state of the current, you know, world leaders and just play a part in really maintaining the status quo that has been, you know, there since 1945? Or, and this is the big difference, or do you want to sit at the table that ushers in change and reshapes the world, and rather than you just maintaining the status quo, you reshape the world in a way that is going to help your people, in a way that is going to put India higher up on that, you know, international stage? What are you going to do? Well, Modi's obviously looked at this and said, well, hey, you know, we can get cheap oil, we can get cheap gas, we can have a seat at the table of the people who are reshaping the world. And fundamentally, we don't like the current status quo. We don't like the current, you know, American, you know, Judeo-American state ruling over us all. So there you have it. He's made his decision. And I think this meeting would be quite difficult for Biden. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because really, India are not part of the Quad anymore. The Quad has fallen to pieces. And I think what is going to be the next thing we see on a global scale is China enlarging its borders, because that's just logical. If the Ukraine goes the way, or if the conflict in the Ukraine goes the way it looks like it's going to go, which is basically a Russian victory. I mean, Russia has now taken Bakhmut. And that was something we were told wouldn't happen. There was going to be this glorious Ukrainian counteroffensive that we're going to drive out the Russians. But in the last sort of 24, 48 hours, we've heard that the Wagner mercenary group has managed to basically take Bakhmut for the Russians. They are now handing that over to the regular Russian army. And the Russians are going to be advancing from there. I shouldn't imagine that the Wagner group are leaving the conflict altogether. They will be reassigned to another place where, you know, they need to take more ground for Russia, which they undoubtedly will. And this leads to something we've spoken about many times. Ultimately, one of the things that seemed very, very odd about this war was that the West were giving all this high-tech equipment, you know, missile systems, tanks, all sorts, to the Ukrainians. But these things are completely useless unless people are trained to use them. So if you said to me, Mark, somebody's giving you 80 Leopard tanks and 20 F-16s, well, that sounds absolutely brilliant on paper. And if it was a computer game, I'm sure those things would help me win the war. But this isn't a computer game, it's real life. And I wouldn't know what to do with a Leopard tank or an F-16. I mean, to be honest, they'd just be, you know, other than selling them for profit, they would just be paperweights, very expensive and very large paperweights. And I'm not saying there isn't anyone in the Ukraine who can use those tanks or can use those planes, but I don't think there is a large number of people who do know how to use them. They're probably sitting in storage and they haven't been of any use yet. So it looks as if Russia are going to make complete fools of the Judeo-American state and, you know, the American State Department. It looks as if they're going to achieve their objectives in Russia. And when that happens, that's going to make America look very foolish. And it's probably going to make the Chinese look a lot more, you know, favorably towards expanding their own borders and potentially taking a chunk of land, you know.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. For we can fly, up, up and away, my...
I want the truth! The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's the Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to the Freedom Times today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And it's probably going to make the Chinese look a lot more, you know, favorably towards expanding their own borders and potentially taking a chunk of land, you know, in the oceans surrounding China, or potentially even deciding it's finally time to get even with Taiwan. Who knows? But by America overcommitting to this, depleting their resources and failing to achieve their objectives, I think this opens the door to a lot of other opportunities for different countries, and for America to finally be left out in the cold when it comes to making a lot of these decisions that go on to shape the world.
Well, what you do see with China, redrawing borders, for the most part, that's like 19th or 20th century thinking, but what I think you are going to see is you're redrawing. You're using the term vassal states, but I just think, and I was using the term satellites. What's the best term to use? I don't know, but a lot of countries are going to be leaving the American orbit and going into a Chinese orbit.
I'll be honest, I'm not saying China is going to be the kindest master, and I'm also not saying that China are in any way a nation that is going to be, you know, the perfect and most wonderful, you know, nation to usher in, you know, this brave new, this brave new world. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, could China treat nations in a more disrespectful way than America? Well, I don't think so. America are, as a nation ruling over other nations, probably one of the worst, if not the worst. I mean, if you look at what's happened in Europe over the last winter, we have a situation where, you know, in Europe, we've seen people genuinely suffering. We've seen the destruction of the Nord Stream pipe. We've seen the suffering that's brought. We've seen the destruction of European economies. We are seeing the destruction of European exports. Why? So America can prove a point. So America can get one over on Russia. And this just shows you how contemptuous the Judeo-American state is of other nations that, you know, it's on the surface allied with. And obviously, I want to be very clear. I don't think these nations are allies of America. I think America controls them. I think, you know, satellite states, vassal states, whatever. But the fact is, when it comes down to it, we are looking here at a situation where many nations will be, well, look how America treats its allies. You know, look how America treats its friends. So what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go and ally with somebody else, because it can't be worse than what we'd be getting from the US. I mean, even if you look back to the Vietnamese War, you know, America was apparently, you know, the nation that was meant to liberate the Vietnamese. But we all know just how horrendously the Vietnamese were treated by America, including Vietnamese who wanted to stay neutral, and even Vietnamese who wanted to be on the side of the Americans. And it was why... Oh, it was one of the reasons, a major contributing factor, as to why America did not prevail in that conflict. America didn't prevail because it wasn't treating people in the correct way. And all of these things add up over time, set a series of precedents that put nations off, for obvious reasons, working with the US. So I think India is generally, or the Indian government, I'm not saying everything they do is for the betterment of the Indian people, but I think they do consider the needs of the Indian people far more than the British government. And I think they certainly do far more than the US government. The US government hates American citizens. Well, hates white Americans. Yeah. And that's another thing that must play on the minds of people doing deals with America. People doing deals with America must think, well, gosh, look how badly white Americans are treated by America.
Well,
we don't treat our people like that. If they treat their own people like that, how can we trust them?
To what extent do people even understand this? Because it's like, I don't think, for instance, the Japanese understand I think they're puzzled. I think people are puzzled at how, I mean, the people around the world do see the Black Lives Matter riots and things like that. But there's been so much, for instance, there's been so much anti-Trump propaganda. A lot of countries, India might be an exception because they have a massive English-speaking elite. But a lot of countries, especially Asian countries, where English is, English knowledge isn't very widespread, they just tend to get their news by translating the New York Times and CNN, and they have a very warped view of what's going on. I wonder how well people in a lot of these countries, whether they even perceive the fact that the American government is so hostile to its own population. But the fact is, it is hostile to its own population. The British government is hostile to the British people. The French government is hostile to the French people. And, you know, if you're going to talk about China, or you're going to talk about the Indian government, this is a very low bar that they have to exceed. They simply don't have to be hostile to their own population. And I don't think the Chinese are hostile to their own population. You know, some people might talk about, oh, social credit or this or that, but you know, freedom and democracy were never, these were never Chinese values in the first place. Chinese values, I remember I had a Chinese friend, I got married, he sent me a card, he was Chinese Canadian, but he sent me a card and it said, may you have many children and a herd of pigs. And it was basically like an old Chinese kind of blessing, right? You want to be wealthy, you want to be harmonious. It's not about freedom and democracy. And so it's a very low bar and I talk to this sometimes to people, even North Korea, right? Like North Korea, I'm very aware of the oppression that North Korean people have experienced at the hands of their government over the past 70 years. But at the same time, the North Korean people are surviving. The Koreans as a people are surviving. They will almost certainly, unless the Kim dynasty has infinite staying power, the Korean people will still be around when the Kim dynasty isn't anymore. And you cannot say that about the British people. You cannot say that about America's founding people, what used to be thought of as the American people. We're not going to be around. We're not going to survive in anything but some sort of a hybridized form. We're not going to survive our Jewish overlordship. Right?
No, and when you say, you know, you're not sure sort of how much knowledge that, you know, different people on the ground in other countries have about what's actually happening here in the West, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the leaders of other nations. So I understand that, you know, your average Japanese guy probably doesn't understand what's going on in Britain or America, as your average Indian might not understand. But national leaders will. National leaders will look at these things and say, hey, there's something going on there. And I think that's already happened in China. I think China have correctly analyzed what's going wrong in the West and said, hey, why is the West declining? What made the West great? And what has changed in the last few years? And I think they're looking at this now and saying, well, there's been a loss of morality. There's been a loss of family values. There's been the destruction of the traditional family. There's been this sort of anti-white, you know, focus that's tried to destroy any form of in-group preference or the idea that white people should stick together. And, you know, as such, there's been an erasure of culture, of traditions, and all of these things have left white people as atomized, isolated individuals, and nations like America are now struggling because of that. And there is a, you know, a growing sense of racial and ethnic unrest in these nations, coupled with other societal trends which are damaging towards the long-term the long-term prospects of the people that originally founded those nations, or who are indigenous in the case of Europe to those countries. And I think the Chinese will be acutely aware of that, because I don't think these people are stupid. You know, there are nations out there where, you know, the leaders are not developed or not as developed. And because of that, I don't think they would give the kind of thought we're talking about to the issues in the West. But I think China absolutely will. And I think if you look at the measures that the Chinese are taking to ensure that their country remains on a moral footing, that their country remains as some form of, family-focused, family-friendly country, where people celebrate their culture, are proud of their traditions and their heritage, and want to see their nation flourish, I think those decisions are being directly led by a Chinese government that is acutely aware of the deracination that has taken place in Western nations. And if you look at what the Chinese are trying to achieve, especially with their idea of Han Chinese supremacy, I think that speaks of a people that are undergoing a rapid racial awakening, which I think is a direct result of, you know, our deracination, if you like. They've looked at our deracination and said, hey, this is not working for these people. We should do the opposite. You know, we should do the opposite of what they're doing, because what they're doing is killing them. You know, they're drinking the poison. We should not drink the poison.
Well, okay, so I think the key word you said was rapid, right? And if they're having a rapid understanding, a rapid awakening, it means that not too long ago they probably didn't have the same level of understanding. And I don't know exactly where their level of understanding is. I know 2 years ago, shortly after the fake Biden administration took power, there was a meeting, I believe it was in Anchorage, Alaska, between the Anthony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, and what's the guy's name? Wang Li, who was at the time the foreign minister of China. And Blinken was dressing down the Chinese over their treatment of the Uyghurs and Hong Kong and whatever else. And then Wang Yi came back and said, yeah, well, you're mean to black people. and of course, Blinken was perfectly happy to hear that. He says, yes, we have been very mean to black people, but we're trying to make amends now. And, you know, this was about the same time that Lavrov had only, you know, maybe a month earlier said something about that white people were coming under attack in the United States. And so it seemed to me a kind of tone-deaf statement for Wang Yi. Now, I have heard that there are, like I used to do a lot of shows with a Chinese American who informed me of a pretty high-level Chinese professor, somebody who gets into the Chinese media, who has been making the exact kind of observations that you were saying they must be, you know, that must be becoming obvious. So there may well be this kind of observation in China. With Japan, I don't think there is. Honestly, I don't think the Japanese leadership really has a clue of what's happening. The thing about Japan, you know, with China, they were poor for so long. China has undergone massive changes, and I think undergoing massive changes makes you aware that things can change, that there's stuff you need to learn. With Japan has done so well over the past 150 years simply imitating everything that goes on in Europe and America and Europe, imitating it and doing it better. And that has been their what do you call it? That's been their prescription. They watch what happens in the West, imitate it, and do it better. And they have an extremely successful country doing that. And even as a satellite or a vassal state, for the most part, okay, so they don't have a foreign policy. They just follow the United States in foreign policy. It's been like that since the end of World War II. They've had a lot of autonomy in terms of their domestic policy. And now you've got Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and former chief of staff for Obama. He's the ambassador to Japan now, and he's making public speeches about how Japan needs to have gay marriage, which I think is annoying a lot of people. But the thing is, when things go well, you don't realize, you know, things have gone well, and they've been satisfied with their relationship with the United States. So that's the thing. I really don't think they understand. And what's going to happen if either they wake up in time or they don't. If they don't wake up in time, they're going to be dragged down by an America that falls off its pedestal, and they're going to be dragged down with it. I don't know. That a lot of people, very few people would probably agree with me, but I think that people who listen to RBN probably know a lot more about what's going on than a lot of top people in foreign ministries around the world. Maybe I'm just being too arrogant. What do you think?
No, I think Japan is very, very different to China or India. And the reason Japan is very different to China and India is Japan have been occupied since 1945. And they will continue to be occupied for the foreseeable future. China have not been occupied. India were occupied by the British, and they broke free of their British rulers. And I think that's an important thing to note. I do think it's a very, very difficult...
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Pack up, let's fly away.
India were occupied by the British, and they broke free of their British rulers. And I think that's an important thing to note. I do think it's a very, very difficult or different process for people who live under occupation. And I think that fundamentally, you're always going to see that. Japan will continue, I believe, to play its role as, you know, America's vassal state in the Far East. However, I think China, and I don't think they will learn anything. And I think that's because they're incapable of learning. They're incapable of learning because they're living under a foreign yoke. They're essentially being fed garbage, gobbling it up, because they are one of America's lapdogs. China is not one of America's lapdogs, and they are free to look at the world as they see fit, to learn as they see fit, to filter information as they see fit, and to come to their own conclusions. And that's why China and India are moving in the way they're moving, and that's why Japan continues to stick with America and go in the direction it is going. However, over time, and if you like to use the term satellite, that's actually good in this particular instance, because if you see Japan as a satellite, satellites orbit different bodies. They orbit different bodies, and they orbit those bodies because the body that they're orbiting has a gravitational force which holds that satellite within the orbit. Now, as America is weakened as a nation, as America begins itself to break up, as America begins to fall to pieces, it will, by definition, exert less of a gravitational pull on its satellites, at which point some of those satellites may, at some point, break free or be pulled out of America's orbit and into the orbit of, you know, major celestial bodies that are in ascendancy, such as China or India. Now, I'm not saying that will happen to Japan overnight. I am not saying it will definitely happen to Japan, but that is obviously something that could happen, because as soon as America stops being the global superpower that calls the shots for all of the nations, countries that once followed America and once slavishly did everything they were told by the Judeo-American state will begin to either think for themselves or think according to the ideas or notions that other more powerful nations have and wish to seed upon them.
Well, we'll see. It's hard to imagine anything happening in Japan that's going to change its orbit anytime soon. There's so much inertia, but we're coming close to the end of our time. What's going on with your channel this week? Do you have anything good for us this week?
Yeah, I have something up at the moment, and it's a video about Joe Biden talking about white supremacy. Yes. as the greatest threat to the West. That's an interesting little video, and in that video I discuss the fact that I don't believe that white supremacy is a threat to the West, that I, in fact, think that what Biden thinks is white supremacy is, in fact, the solution to the problems the West faces. But go and have a listen to what I've said. It's on my Odyssey. It's on my BitChute.
I absolutely will do that. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to being with you next week.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone, back at base, boxing the...
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.